Did I hit the right one?
No. Yeah.
Oh?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. And there's two little pictures there. You can go ahead and put those up.
The message today is about the kingdoms of men and the kingdom of God. And so we're looking here at kingdoms, ruling, the things that control our lives. And there's a difference. I chose this scripture in Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah. So, what do we find out about the kingdoms of this world from that statement in the scripture? What do we get out of that? Are the kingdoms of this world, this world system itself, are they for Jesus or not for Jesus?
Against.
Yeah, they're set against the Lord and against the Messiah. We are in a world system that has pushed against the true God and against the Messiah. This Messiah, one of his aspects is Savior, which Jesus already came and fulfilled and has gone back into heaven. And the church now is his representative, his body on the earth. And we have responsibilities in carrying out his instructions because he works through a many-membered body of Christ. Is everybody clear about that? And there's going to come a time when he himself is going to return to this earth, and he's going to be the one who wears the victor's crown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
In the meantime, we're in what we call the church age. We're still in what the church has called the end times. It's the time prior to Jesus coming back and setting up his millennial kingdom. Right? Now, there's some things that we're going to talk about in terms of God's kingdom versus the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of men today. And hopefully we'll grab right a hold. I was just so greatly appreciative of the first song, "Come Lord, Come Reign."
Mm, yes.
The victor's crown, talking about his glory and how he's not defeated. And sometimes you look at what's going on in the world and you go, what's going on here? You know, but we need to remember and be reminded through the scripture, through his presence, through our worship, that, hey, he's got everything under control. We're in the palm of his hand, and he wears the victor's crown, and he is going to rule and reign in this earth.
Amen.
But you know what? He needs to rule and reign in us first. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason the church is here is to be that representative while he has to reign in us. And that's what we'll be talking about that. He's the Messiah. All of these were in that victor's crown song. He is our stronghold. And every stronghold of the enemy shall be broken.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, the message that the Lord gave me talks about every single one of those points. Every single one of them. So, again, there's a confirmation for us to say, okay, I want to be able to grab a hold of the Word of God, allow it to live in me, allow God to show me how that's going to be brought forth in my life, and be willing to step out in areas that maybe we're a little, we don't think we have the ability to do, when it's not us anyway. Right. You guys know that.
Right.
That's why any one of us can do anything that God instructs us to do.
Yes.
We don't want to get out ahead of the Lord, but we don't want to be dragging behind either, do we?
Right.
We want to hear and obey. That's what we want to do. So, but this world that you and I live in is against the Lord and against the Messiah. We can see this in the way things are in this life. I chose these two particular pictures. What do you see that's different there from the atmosphere? The essence of what the pictures portray. I think you can see this one, can't you?
Yeah.
And can you see what this is?
Yes.
It's a silhouette of the three wise men, right?
Right.
All right, so what's being portrayed here as we contrast the kingdoms of men and the kingdom of God? What can you grab just out of the pictures without any words there?
They want to fight.
Men what?
They want to fight.
Men like to fight. Men, the kingdoms of men, it deals with force.
And pride.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And groupthink. Yeah. Called propaganda. Called
brainwashing.
Right? So this is I think a pretty good concept. So I showed this army all marching in step. They are an army. Things are going to happen by force. There's things that go on in our country, the land of freedom and opportunity, where people that are against the Lord, that have come into power, try to influence our minds and convince us of many different things that have nothing to do with God and His kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So here we have that kind of aspect. What do you get out of that picture? I'm just curious. I know what I got out of it, but I want to see what you got out of it. What does this say to you about the kingdom of God?
Praise.
Wait a minute. One at a time here. Somebody?
Praise.
There's praise. There's worship. They're down on their knees.
Humility.
Christ reigns.
They recognize who He was. We come to find the King of the Jews. Jesus is King, isn't He?
Amen.
And that's what this whole thing of the kingdom is about. It's really not about the kingdom as much as it is the King, who's the King of the kingdom. Right? Okay, what else?
They're giving of themselves. Yeah.
They're giving of they sacrificed quite a bit to get there, didn't they?
Yeah.
These are all aspects of this kingdom of God. And we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about a couple different things that's going to come out of this. So if you don't say it now, you'll pick up what I'm hoping that you get out of this. Okay? All right, let's go to the next room. All right. This says something about this world and who rules in this world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father. It's from the world. Right? This doesn't... The boastful pride of life and everything else, the different lusts, that doesn't come from God. It comes from some other source, doesn't it? And that source, as we see in the next scripture, ties right in with the world, because this particular power, the wicked one, controls what's going on in the world system, doesn't it? We find this out from scripture. The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. The whole world. Now, God, there's an echo or something, right? God's forcing me over to the side. let's go to the let's go to the next frame. All right, you can hit the click again and get the picture. All right, the devil took Jesus up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. I only chose this to show you that there's numerous places besides what I chose here, obviously, but that the enemy of our souls, the one who wants to devour us, to kill, rob, and destroy us, is the one who has some kind of power in this world. Mm-hmm. It was his to give to Jesus. He has some kind of authority that even though he's against God, he has a right to at this particular time. And this is why it's hard sometimes pushing up against demonic forces. And why we shouldn't get discouraged when that force is holding out against what our desires and our prayers are for. Yeah. You get that? This is a fight.
Yeah.
And one thing that we have to understand about the kingdom of God, the violent take it by force. And that's not speaking in the negative kind of thing. It's saying that word violent means that that you're, there's an inspiration of intensity, of passion for the thing that you want. Right? The people that want it are going to find it. If you want the kingdom of God, it's not just going to be sprinkled on you. That isn't how it comes. And I want to make this point really clear, because like Reggie said, you know, we're moving toward that, but there's more to this, more for us to grab a hold of and understand in a much deeper way than what we have already. We have a modicum, a little tiny bit of an understanding when we talk about the kingdom of God. Oh yeah, that means that Jesus is the king and there's going to be a millennial kingdom. And what else more? What more is there? I have enough. I know enough. I don't need to know any more than that. Oh yeah? We're going to talk about this. Okay? But this is important for us. If we're going to be people who move in the kingdom of God, we better understand it. Right? We better dig into it a little bit more. And that's what the when I'm preaching the next numbers of weeks, I won't be preaching next week, but the next numbers of times, I think the Lord wants me to be talking about the kingdom. I did a series about 3 years ago on the kingdom, but this is going to come from a couple different angles than what I had before. So, so that's that. Okay, we can go to the next one. Now, we just said that Satan is the god of this world. He has the authority in many places, but there's a big but there.
Yes.
But Satan does not have total control. He doesn't. All right, let's get the picture on this. All right. Now, I don't know if you can see it, but this is that Satan right there is getting kicked out of heaven. He doesn't have total control over things. He can only do what God allows him to do, and what is prescribed in the rules of the universe and the rules of heavenly warfare and so on. There are rules out there, and he can't go beyond those. So he is limited in what he can do. You know, read the book of Job. You can see that he could do a lot of things, but he only could do what God would give him allowance to. But notice what it says here: the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
That we're not totally distraught and at the mercy of a vicious enemy. We have hope. because of what Jesus did. He conquered everything, didn't he?
Yes.
And he brings in a different kind of kingdom to stand up against the kingdoms of this world. Now, the kingdoms of this world are not just governments and the different nations. It's also the world system that could be in us. Right? Do you understand that? The world can still be in us. The attitudes of the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life can still be there. Right? But we're here as a church to continue what Jesus did. I think I have it in the next frame, but I'm not sure. Let me. All right, let's go to the next frame. All right, go ahead and put up the picture too. Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be. The purpose for the Son of God was shown, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This world system, this kingdom of men, kingdoms of men, are motivated by what the devil wants to have happen. He's come to rob and kill and destroy. That's what he wants. He goes to and fro looking whom he may devour. That's it. That's what he does. If he can discourage us do whatever he can to dissuade us from walking more closely with God, he's going to do whatever he can to keep you and I in darkness. But Jesus came that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, we're here as his body to continue that work until he comes back. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Or is it just Jesus? Do we just are we to just sit around here and just wait for Jesus to come back and do it? Or are we truly the body of Christ? The hands and the feet and the mouth and everything about who Jesus can be, working through these vessels. Didn't we have something like that in one of the songs too? You know, that he works through jars of clay. Wasn't that how it went?
Yes.
In the songs?
Yes.
I am amazed how God accomplishes what he wants to do through people. You know? With all of our insecurities and fallacies and sin and all this, and he still is going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, and he does it through earthen vessels like us. And this is what takes this thing away for us to think, oh well, I have to be better. We're not so hot. But you know what? We are hot when we're in Christ.
Yes.
That's where we have to be. Giving ourselves over more to that.
Yes.
Moving more in that kingdom than the kingdom of darkness that says we're nothing.
Right.
Do you understand this?
That's right.
This has all been said by the songs. Reggie, what he had said. Yeah, it builds me up all the time when this kind of stuff happens. I hope it does for you too, because God is speaking to us here about this. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, this is neat. Okay, you can put up, I think there's a picture with that too. You probably can't see it.
Yes.
But there's a lion's face in the background. There's Jesus sitting on a throne with a scepter in his hand. Okay? That's why I chose that. Thy throne, O God, this is out of Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter, the staff, of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. What's that tell you about the kingdom of God? It's righteous. Oh, what's that say about us right now? What's he expect from us?
Righteousness.
We want to live in the kingdom of God, then we need to pursue righteousness. Don't we? Oh, yeah. Now, look what it says in the New Testament. Unto the Son. Now, God is forever and ever the scepter of his kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. Look what it says here. Unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Righteousness. Being right before God, being obedient, having a heart that's humble before God and wants to serve him and has a reverence for who he is and what he's done. That's what needs to be emanating from our being, right?
Yes.
And when we see that, the other reason I chose that was people that say, well, there's no such thing as the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Those three are one, says that in 1 John. And here it says, unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. Oh, the Son is God. Is there anything more clear than that?
No.
So, Jesus is going to be ruling from a throne. And that throne right now is right here. Your heart, my heart. Yeah. But he's also coming back for 1,000-year reign on this earth. There's two parts to this. Okay? All right, let's go to the next one. I just like the psalm, so I threw it in. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise thee, O Lord, and your saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. What can we say about the glory of God's kingdom? If you were asked to speak on the glory of God's kingdom right now, what would you say?
Look around.
Now, you didn't have to answer. I just wanted you to think. But yeah, exactly, right? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Ah, that's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
What a powerful thing. You and I, right now, have opportunity to live in the kingdom of God. But there's an even greater expression that's going to happen after Jesus comes back. Hopefully, we can give some kind of speaking of the glory of his kingdom and the glorious majesty of what that is. You know, how would we express that? You know, that's a rhetorical question. I don't expect you to answer that, but I want you to think about it. Okay, all right, let's go to the next. Okay, go ahead. For he has rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Colossians 1:13. So where did we start out?
Darkness.
We started out in darkness. Out of the light of God. Not in his kingdom. Because we went our own way. We thought our own thoughts. We didn't know about this Savior that would die for us. That we were even sinful. We probably didn't even realize that. Maybe we did. But he rescued us. He saved us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thank you, God.
Yes.
And it's a glorious kingdom. And it's an everlasting kingdom. Amen? Isn't that good? The book of Hebrews also describes this and says, you know, that It's in Hebrews 10 somewhere. I didn't write it down. But what it says is everything that can be shaken will be shaken. All the things that we think are safe and secure in this life, we're going to find that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The way we think about, maybe even the way we think about church. Maybe the way, I can't wait until I retire and I can get that 401k and Social Security is going to be around and I can draw for that. I'm going to have a good retirement. Oh wow! When that might not necessarily be so. Anything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But since we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken, we can rely on the fact that there is a kingdom that is never going to be moved, cannot be shaken, cannot be destroyed. It's going to be everlasting, and it can minister to us right now. It's full of light. It's full of joy and peace and rest. And we can experience that in this life. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can. And you've all experienced it. If you had a really great worship this morning with the Lord during our worship time, you were experiencing some of that then. I'll bet you either you felt joy or rest or peace or a feeling of refuge, love. Right?
Yes.
In those moments, you have something that cannot be taken from you. It can't be shaken. And we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Okay.
Now,
yeah, go ahead.
Just in case anybody wants to write it down, it's a Hebrews 12:27.
Oh, it's 12, not 10. Okay. Hebrews 12:27. Thank you. Okay. So now what I want to do is I want us to look at really embracing the kingdom of God. Hey. You gonna sit?
Yeah. Glad to see you, Janice.
Yeah, you know, if we think that we already know enough about the kingdom of God. If we think we already know enough, there's no sense going on. But there's more to this. You're going to know up here and probably in here to some degree, just like me, well, I have a degree of understanding of what the kingdom of God is. But the Lord's also shown me, you don't know all that you should know.
Right.
You haven't experienced all that you have to experience. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so embracing the kingdom of God. Let's see what happens. All right, go ahead and put the picture up there. One thing, I started with this here, because I think that's probably the best place. The kingdom of God, this thing about the kingdom of God, does not come with an outward show. Neither shall they say, look here or look there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So where is the kingdom?
In
us. Already in us. We don't have to look up there. We don't have to look down there. What does the scripture say? He is nigh thee, even in your heart. Right?
Yeah.
He has already, when we accepted Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit of God came and resided with us. What that actually means is kind of hard to describe or even really fully know. Except that I know that the Holy Spirit lives in me. And when I give him, I'm a free agent. So are you. Right? I open up to the Spirit of God. And I listen to what he has to say, how he moves me, and I'm obedient to that. I'm moving in the Spirit of God. And it can be fairly easy if I'm obedient, right? As long as I'm listening, as long as I want to. So this kingdom of God, and it doesn't come with an outward show. There wasn't a... When the Lord came into your heart, when his kingdom, when you were taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light, was there grand fanfare that happened? You know, Kathy and I went up to, we lived in Burlington, Vermont for a year and a half, 2 years, and they had a restaurant there. Carver's?
Oh.
Carver's? Now, Carver's restaurant in Burlington, Vermont, if you went in there and it was your birthday...
Uh-huh. You don't let them know.
If someone tells them that it's your birthday, they have this grand fanfare. Oh, my. They come out with horns and balloons and confetti and everything that embarrasses the heck out of you. Everybody in the restaurant knows it's your birthday. There's this grand fanfare. And they're singing and, you know, they make a big deal. I kind of like going there myself. And they make a big deal about this any person's birthday. There's a lot of fanfare that's involved with that. But what the scripture's saying is, when the kingdom of God, when you were taken out of the kingdom of darkness and moved into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear son, it wasn't like all these things happened. You might have felt the joy and the peace and all that kind of stuff, but there wasn't this outward display to prove to you that, hey, you've just been taken and put into another kingdom. No, it comes without an outward show. It's something that happens inwardly. There's a peace. There's other things that take place where we're taken out of one kingdom and put into another. Aren't you glad you're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore? You know what? But we fight against the kingdom of darkness because that darkness is the kingdoms of this world. And we live in this world. And so we come up against this dark kingdom all the time with dark thoughts that the enemy throws at our heads, with the way the government tries to do what it wants to do in people's lives that has that they have no business doing because they're corrupt. Did you remember that thing from Daniel? Did I read that scripture in Daniel?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or haven't I gotten to that yet? I did get to that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, back up to four. It's the fourth one.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whoever so he wills. And he does set up over it the most corrupt of men. We're dealing with corruption all the time. Not every ruler is corrupt, but that's the general theme of things in this world. This is what we have to deal with. That's what's there. Get used to it. That's what we have to deal with when it comes to the kingdoms of men. Right? We shouldn't be surprised. Alright. So now I want to talk about one of the things that we really should really desire to do. Matthew 6:33, the first part of it says this: "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And it says, "And all these other things will be added unto you." Right? But Jesus says that the first thing, priority number one, seek the kingdom of God. And I wonder how much I know, you know, really about what that really means. And what does that entail? And how much do we have to change so that that does become more of a first thought, a first action for us? All right? Another thing about the you're not getting all the details here because that's coming for other things. I'm just setting things up for the future messages. Here's something else. The gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. We should be not after we get to really understand what the kingdom is all about, and the things of the kingdom are really worked in us. Then we might have an understanding of what to say to the nations, what to say to people about this gospel of the kingdom. This is. Jesus was not talking about the gospel of salvation there.
No.
Now, wrapped up in the gospel of the kingdom is salvation, because when you talk about the coming of a king and the idea that God can live in your heart if you accept Christ as your Savior, and that then that Holy Spirit that's in your heart can now help you to change into the person that God wants you to be. That's all part of the gospel of the kingdom. Along with the fact that, hey, Jesus came as Savior, as Messiah, and now he's going to come back again. And he's going to rule and reign. And what do we know about the 1,000-year kingdom? And what do we know about the preparation that has to go in our hearts to be ready for when he comes back? And all that's truth about all of that stuff. That's important for us to know about in this end time, just before he's coming back, I would think. And that gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world. He's not talking about the gospel of the of salvation. He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. Let me just take the context of this for you. If I can get to it. Matthew 24. Let me just read to you. So it's in verse 14 where he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom," right? This gospel. So he must be referring to something he just talked about. Well, if you go back, you don't have to turn to it, but I'm just going to paraphrase because I'm going to go into some detail as time goes along. But Jesus and the disciples, they're at the temple, and the disciples say, "What's going on with the temple? And what are the signs? What are the signs of your coming back?" You get this? What are going to be the signs of your coming? And then Jesus goes and goes into this whole explanation of these events that are going to happen. And then he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached." You know, all of the things that are going to happen. Nations are going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in different places. These are just the beginning of sorrows. They're going to deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. You know, most people don't even want to talk about any of that stuff. Right? Or they don't feel like they know enough to talk. That's what I'm talking about. Is God is opening, taking the seals off the book here at the end of the age to have us ready to be able to actually preach the full gospel of the kingdom. We just got little bits and pieces right now. But there's more coming for us. And we want to be careful. We don't want to jump onto some idea that might be out there. We want to know it's come from the Holy Spirit. It's going to be confirmed, and we're going to know that it's God, and we're going to move in the way that God tells us to move. You guys, are you with me on that?
Yes.
You know, and it talks about and he talks about how there's going to be all this deception in the world. All this propaganda, all these false news and fake situations. It's an amazing thing that they're talking about UFOs now. You heard, you know, smatterings of it back in the 50s and 60s. But boy, now the government's confirming, yeah, there's these UFOs. You better take that with a grain of salt.
Lying wonders.
Because the deception that's out there, it says, is that there's going to be all kinds of lying wonders in the sky and on the earth. Just be careful that you don't just buy in because you like the idea that maybe there's people on other planets. Scripture doesn't say that. No. If there's something important about that, well, you know, God will open that door. But I have a sneaking suspicion that this whole UFO thing is a lying wonder. You know that the military experimental aircraft is 30 years ahead of what we know about. You don't think that these UFOs could possibly be from governments who are inspired by the world system, by Satan himself, who can give them wisdom and understanding about scientific things that would allow them to go way beyond where they were before? Because the kingdoms of men, the kingdoms of this world, are in the power of the evil one. And he is smart. And he knows things. And can give this information and make somebody look like, hey, wow, look at this guy. Just keep that in mind. Okay. Here is something else. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Dunamis. That's the word, power. Dunamis. Dynamic. It means anointed. When God is with a person, there's power there. It can break chains. Can it?
Yes.
The word, just reading it, there's no power unless you're hungry for it, you're drawing it, and God wants to do something with that word in your life at that time, called the Rhema word, and he blesses you with it, he anoints you with that. You embrace that word, there's power there. You know the difference, don't you? When you're reading some scripture, or when something jumps out at you, or you feel enlivened and strengthened by what you just read. Right?
Yeah.
That's anointing power. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. Because the anointing, the Spirit of God is there, doing His work in you and through you. More of that coming. Okay, let's go to the next one. Ah, the last one. Jump back to the other one. I wanted to say something. I'm going to read to you. I'm almost done. So, if your mind is starting to go, pick it up. Okay. Just for a little bit longer, just in case God wants to really say something to you. I thought this was good that goes with this dunamis. Psalm 22, verse 3 says this, but the way it says it in King James is this: but you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. Now, there's other translations to these words, and I thought they were pretty darn good. You are enthroned, talking about being the king, right? You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Wow. You know, when we're praising God, when we're not complaining to God, but when we're praising God, when we're not distracted and have our minds all over the place, but when we're really, truly touching God and really talking to God and singing to God, when we're really praising Him, thanking Him, we're experiencing at that particular moment of time the kingdom of God. He's enthroned when we're doing that. He's up there. We see Him as King. We believe in Him. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our strength and our song. Amen? There's a lot more to go with that one. All right, and then the last frame, Reg. And you can put the... There he is. And the seventh angel. And this is this thing about, you know, our eternal outcome is assured. He is the victor. He wears the victor's crown. All of this is going to come to a good end at the end of this whole age. And when the seventh angel sounded, the king, there's some other words, but then the kingdoms of this, I love this scripture, just love it. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Isn't that just a great thing?
Yes.
A great thing!
Yes. Yeah.
The darkness, the rottenness, the corruptness of this world,
yes,
is going to fall down, yes, and bow before the kingdom of Christ.
Yay.
Hallelujah! Yes. I can't wait for that to happen.
Yes.
The seventh, when that seventh angel sounds that trumpet, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. What a great, great message. Oh my gosh. It's going to happen, isn't it? We can be assured. We can find strength in that. We can live in that. Hallelujah for that. Amen. I just love it. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm done now. I'm done now. So, Lord, I pray that this message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, would reside in our heart, that it would percolate and bubble up, and Lord, that we would want you more and more in our life as our personal king to lead us and guide us into being transformed into the image of the Son. And Lord, we look forward to the day when the darkness of this world is broken down and becomes the kingdom of Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, we know that even now, in your kingdom, in this kingdom of your dear Son, chains can be broken now. Darkness has to flee before the light now. And so, Lord, in areas of our life right now that we are looking for deliverance, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, Lord, I pray that there would be such an anointing of your Spirit to just touch all of us in some way. It doesn't have to be an outward show right now. Lord, we want it to percolate up through our entire being, from the center of our being, and that it be deep and true and right and lovely and wonderful for us. And we know, Lord, that you have come to destroy the works of the devil, but also that we might have life and that we could have it more abundantly. And Lord, so we take this. We take the encouragement of your word and say, yes, yes, Lord. We are people that you love. We are people that have the Spirit of God within us. Your kingdom is within us because the King resides within us. And Lord, you want us to be a kingdom of priests. Thank you, God. We're kings and priests of you. We're going to rule and reign with you in the millennial kingdom. And Lord, so just prepare our hearts even now for that very thing. That we would be exercised thereby in these things. And we thank you, God. We love you. We give our hearts to you in a greater way today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.